What an honor and a privilege to be worshiping with you this evening. And what a group of people. I always love to come back to this church because of your love and your passion for the work of our Father. I'm sure you all are ready to hear from our Father, are we? Let's turn to our Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, 6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Reading from New American Standard Version. Sorry about that. Remark, all of us like sheep have gone astray. All. No exception. All. No exception. No matter how good you think you are, you have gone astray. Our topic this evening is, for whom did Jesus die? For whom did Jesus die? To answer that question, turn to Luke 19, verse 10. For whom did Jesus Christ die? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Who is lost? Who is lost? In this context, in the context of Luke 9:19, it was talking about the entire house of Abraham. The Jews, they were lost. But in larger context, the Gentiles also lost. So the Jews and the Gentiles are lost. Let us pray. Father, we bow before your throne with great humility, recognizing that you are the God of the universe, the sovereign one. We can never thank you enough for all that you do for us because of the cross. This evening, we humbly pray that you will speak to us through your word. Make your word live to us in Christ's name. Amen. For whom did Christ or Jesus Christ die? He died for the lost. Under this column, he died for three groups of people. When you talk about the death of Jesus on the cross, it applies to three groups of people. And the first group, we are going to talk about all these groups this evening. The first group is the self-righteous group. He died for three groups. The self-righteous, the immoral, and the moral. The self-righteous people, my brother Mark, read John chapter 3. Let's go there and pick up some few things about self-righteousness. People today tend to gravitate, that the only way you can walk your way to God is to be develop a kind of self-righteousness. We run across people like this from time to time. Even in churches, we run across people who think that the only way they can really do something by keeping the law, observing the law, working hard in order to get to a point whereby God will say, ta-da-da, you have made it. Self-righteousness, it blinds people. Self-righteousness. And the sad thing today, we will get here, even after a self-righteous man is saved, many of us sometimes are finding it difficult to let go that element or residues of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is always looking down on other people, always putting yourself so high while you put other people down. That's self-righteousness. And Jesus Christ hates that. We are not for the grace of God. None of us will be here. We're not for the grace of God. We can say goodbye to heaven. Self-righteousness. John 3:1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A little bit of background about this man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. The Bible mentioned Pharisee here for a reason. To show us, Pharisees, they were a sect of people in the Jews' arena who prompt themselves so high as a model for righteousness. In other words, do you want to go to heaven? God's kingdom? Look at us. Copy us. If you fail to copy us, that means there is no heaven or God's kingdom for you. But the Bible is so amazing how God does things. He brought a man. He's a ruler of the Jews. Here, he was talking no other than what we may call today bishop of bishops. A ruler of the Jews. Bishop of bishops in our own language. He came, verse 2, this man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things or these signs that you do unless God is with him. The Pharisees, like I said, are so self-righteous to the core. In fact, Jesus had to say something about them. Jesus was always running head to head to toe with them. He says something very important. Remember, for them, they are on the door to heaven. In other words, they are about to say, they're already ringing the bell, waiting for God to shake hands with them. As far as they were concerned, they are just waiting for the door to be opened, and they walk in, and the rest will stay behind. Unless you have attained the type of righteousness they think they have attained. Look at what Jesus said about them in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. In Matthew 5:20, Christ says something very striking. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. I thought that they are the role model. And here Jesus is saying, you must have a righteousness greater than the Pharisees. For them, the Pharisees, they see themselves as white. And Jesus is saying to his audience, unless your righteousness is whiter than white, you cannot go to heaven. And the question is, how can I obtain a righteousness that will surpass those people that we revere? We have great respect for the Pharisees. They are our role models, and Jesus is saying to me that my righteousness must exceed their own. Wow, how do I get there? How can I ever get there? Of course, no other way. There is no way you can get there. That righteousness doesn't come from man. It is a perfect righteousness that only comes from God. The righteousness of God, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:22. What about these Pharisees? How did they look at themselves? How did they prompt themselves? When they talk to people, they always look down on other people. Always. Look at Luke 18, verse 9 through 13. Luke 18, 9 through 13. Jesus also used this parable. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this common man standing by here called tax gatherer. Thank you, God. Wow. See how far I have come in life. See how far I have attained. I thank you that you have brought me this far. No, that was a mistake. God didn't bring them. If they thought that God brought them, that would be grace. They thought they brought themselves. I thank God that I have attained this height. And this man here, don't even listen to him. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing in some distance, he said, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. In one place, Jesus will tell them that about them that they pay tithes even from mint. Tiny bit. Things you wouldn't even, you ignore it. It's like you visit me as a friend and I give you a bowl of peanut as a cola. Enjoy a peanut. If you are a Pharisee, you get that peanut. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 20 peanuts. Two peanuts have to be tight. Before I eat my peanuts, I have to tie this peanut. I got two get two out. That's how self-righteous these people were. I tied everything. No exception. But the tax gatherer standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled. But he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Back to John. John 3, this man, Nicodemus, came to Christ and he praised Jesus Christ. We have read through this. He praised Christ for all that Christ was doing. In verse 3, observe, we have been called to represent our Savior Jesus Christ. What we will observe, in representing him, we will observe love, compassion, kindness. My brother Mark here mentioned about the Iranian people, mentioned about other people. People coming to us from all walks of life. You see, my own take on this is God put Great Britain in place to reach out to the world, and thank God for them. Otherwise, I wonder whether the gospel would have reached me. But they have failed now. And God is bringing people to them by the mass. You see, if you don't minister to them, they will minister to you. If you don't give them the gospel, they will give you what they brought. No two ways about that. God is bringing them to you, to your door, since you don't want to fly anymore. He'll fly them in. He'll bring them through, use boats, air, ground, wherever they can get, come in. And they are in your backyard. Compassion, love, mercy. Jesus will show Nicodemus love. See, Christ, we already read this portion. Jesus Christ did not say, Nicodemus, who? Righteous, safe, righteous man. He didn't condemn him. He loved him so much. He never debated with him with his self-righteousness. He went straight to the point because of his love. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can imagine his eyebrows went up. Born again? Born again? Just think about my brother Bruce here. A giant. Mekus, you are no Mekus. If I say Mekus, unless you are born again, you will not enter into God's kingdom. That's a different story. Maybe there is something medical. You can enlarge the womb of Callista and put Mekus back for nine more months. And then Mekus will be born. But for my brother Bruce, that's past scientist. That's past medical and any technology. To be able to enlarge her mom, old, to go back in the womb again for 9 months. That's what Nicodemus was thinking. How can that be? And Jesus was very, very, I love Jesus Christ, of course, who wouldn't? Very sarcastic. In verse 10, he said to him, wait a minute, aren't you a teacher? Aren't you a bishop? How you are a bishop and you don't know all this? In other words, what are you teaching people? You see, you can be a bishop and not be born again. You can be a pastor and not have any relationship with Christ. I was in Liberia a few years ago. My host, he was not born again. After my first conference, he came to the hotel smiling, with a big smile on his face. He said, do you know, I just got born again yesterday after you taught us grace. After 30 years as a pastor. He was walking out telling people how to, you have to walk, you have to keep the law, you have to walk. I was in Belize for a conference. Our driver asked him, if you die today, will you go to heaven? He said, I hope so. Our pastor told us, if we do good things, keep the law, you might go to heaven. But your righteousness must be greater than your sinfulness. I say, what's the percentage? He said, about 80%. If you're about 80%, you go to heaven. I asked him, where do you think you are right now? A little bit more over the 40%. I'm about 40%. Then I'm working hard. I showed him James 2:10. If you keep the whole law, 99.9, you'll be guilty before God. He said, who? That means nobody will go. I said, not so fast. Grace will take you there. Nicodemus, Jesus had an encounter with him, gave him the gospel. Unless one is born through water there is the word of God, not baptism. You can swim all you want. Unless you trust in Christ, there is no salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone. That was Nicodemus. What about the other group? Moral people had to reach. They think, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Here was Cornelius, a Gentile, was very moral to the core. If God said that you are moral, you better believe it. In Acts 10:1, now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. A Gentile. He feared God. He was so moral, and God noticed it. God noticed his morality. Often we think that morality can take us to heaven, but it can't. It will never. Only faith alone, in Christ alone. For there is no other name given whereby man will be saved. You can be moral all you want, but that's not enough for heaven. Time will not permit us to go through this passage. But despite of his morality, God said to Cornelius, I have taken notice. I have taken notice of your desire for relationship. I will send you a man, Peter. He will come to your house. He will give you the gospel message by which you will be saved. See, salvation comes. Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You don't get faith by sleeping. You don't get faith by praying. You get faith by hearing the word of God. In other words, Nicodemus, I got you. One more step, a message about the work of Christ. Putting your faith in the work of Christ, you will see me in heaven. Peter came. You all know the story. When Peter came, in verse 34, and opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. If God has sent me to this house, he doesn't make discrimination. For whom did Christ die? I came for the lost. Was Cornelius lost? You bet he was. And Peter began to show him everything about Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe Peter planned to give him an hour message. And Peter began to express the kindness, the love, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. How God prepared this man before time. And they were all listening attentively, soaking in every word, like we are doing tonight. They were listening to the message Peter was giving them. But at this time, they were not saved yet. When would they be saved? Look at verse 43. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes faith in him receives forgiveness of sin. That's all they have been waiting for. How do I get saved? That was a question by a jailer to Apostle Paul. How do I get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. Faith alone, in Christ alone. Here, Peter Hammond, they have been waiting. They have been waiting on all the systematic theology Peter has been expanding on. But that is not enough for salvation. Salvation is in no other name but faith in Christ alone. And here, he hammered in him, whoever believes in him has forgiveness of sin. They have been waiting for this. Immediately they believe in Christ. What's the outcome? Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. Why? Because they responded to the message in verse 43. They believed. And their sins were forgiven. and they received the indwelling Holy Spirit. Peter spoke, they spoke in tongues. Not that anybody who believes in Christ speaks in tongues. No. That was an unusual thing here. And the reason was to assure Peter that Gentiles have been entered into God's kingdom, as well as the Jews. Because there's no way he could have known. So God gave them the same identity he gave them at the day of Pentecost. That was one reason. Because, second reason, so he can have a proof to defend his ground when he meets his other apostles. In chapter 11, he did. And he used it as a defense. And of course, the third is just a sign to the unbelieving Jews, which Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 through 22. The Holy Spirit came upon them before water baptism, because baptism has no bearing to salvation. They were not baptized before they were in contact with the Holy Spirit. Only faith that brought salvation to them. That's moral man and his household. They came to Christ by faith alone. I don't have time with Nicodemus. He too came to Christ. Because Jesus told him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And they did. He did. He was caught up when Christ died. We will close with the last one. John chapter 4. The woman of Samaria. The Samaritan woman. I left this one for the last. For a reason, because we deal with people in our backyard, in our neighborhood, we deal with people all the time. People who are even not worthy for us to be close to them. People who we know who they are by identity. Even prostitutes. We know them. Drug addicts, drunkards. We know who they are. And so we don't want to talk to them. That's not love. That's not compassion. If we are to be like Christ, we must express the love that is in Christ. Paul challenged us, be an imitator of me just as I am imitating Christ. There's no boundary limitation when it comes to reaching out to those who are lost. Christ sacrificed all to come to us. Look at John chapter 4. In verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees, verse 1, had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. See, the Holy Spirit put this thing here for a reason. The Samaria and the Jews, they didn't have anything in common. Nothing. They hated each other. But Jesus had to pass through Samaria to get to Galilee. You know why? It was the shortest road from Judea to Galilee. It's like going to the kitchen from here is Samaria. But this house, maybe let's say it has 100 floor, and the only way you can go to that 100 floor without going here is you have to climb the steps. Go to 100 floor, walk down, and then drop under 100 so that you can pass Samaria. Samaria is zoom, you're in the kitchen. But you can't go because Samarians are here. So you prefer the steps. That's where the Jews, except Jesus Christ, who broke that code. Because he loved everyone. He went and he came and he met a woman at the well. And he said to the woman, give me water to drink. And the woman said, I can't give you. You're a Jew. You know the code. How can I do that? It's impossible. I said, give me water. In fact, if you know the person who is asking you water, you would have given him. If you know the person who is talking to you. Jesus said, you know the story. As the conversation continued, our Lord, they began a deeper conversation. And she said to Jesus said to her, if I give you my own water, you will never taste again. And the woman said, what? You meaning to tell me if you give me that water, I will never come here? Walked 7 miles to fetch water. Give me that water then. No, Jesus said, not so fast. Go call your husband. Go bring your husband. I have no husband. You said correctly. You have had 5 husbands. In fact, you are living with a man that is not your husband. Shocking? Yes. In other words, you are a harlot. You are a prostitute. You know, this woman was so rotten. She was using men like toilet paper. That was her. But Jesus Christ knew whom he was talking to. Observe, he never once condemned her. He never once overlooked her. That's love. That's compassion. When Jesus finally did everything, and she said, oh, you are a prophet. Yes, I am more than a prophet. I'm also a Messiah. The woman said, we've been looking for a Messiah. He will come. Jesus said to her, I am has come. Whoa. She too believed in the Messiah. She believed in Christ right there and then. Her sins forgiven. And what did she do? She ran as fast as she could, leaving her water pot. Forget about water pot. I don't want any more water. I have found something very dynamic. That's what we should do when we find something that has changed our lives. We should be so passionate, so compassionate, so driven to share that with others. And she went to her town. Come. You don't have to be a theologist to tell people to come. Leave that to Brother Steve. You don't have to leave that for your pastor. We all can tell people, come and let me show you the man who changed me. Faith alone in Christ alone. And people came to hear Christ. For whom did Christ die? For those who are lost. He died for the self-righteous. He died for the moral. Above all, for the immoral people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Realizing that our salvation relies solely on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, through our Savior, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but will have eternal life. Father, realizing this, that salvation is only by faith in the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that, is there anyone here who has not made that decision? That he will realize that the payment has been made in full. For while we are yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for our sins. Father, thank you so much for this congregation. We pray that you continue to challenge us day by day as the days are drawing near. May we recognize that we don't have the time we think we have. May we be passionate, compassionate, seasoned with love and grace as we minister to those who are lost and destitute. Thank you for this church. We pray that your blessing continue to pour upon it. In Christ's name, amen.